Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us!
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Spirit of Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope one of their cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black D. How?
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
It is Thursday, June 5th, 2014. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. Now, I know it's a different night and everything else, but, you know, I'm here to, you know, do the show. I got a lot of stuff to talk about. Hopefully this all comes across well. I tested this mic this past weekend, and everything sounded all right. I only did, you know, 10 minutes of talking or whatever, but it actually sounded very clear. So I'm going to hope that everything pans out because I got a lot to say, so I hope nothing, you know, missed through this thing, because I can't hear anything as far as myself goes, which is something I'll work on in the future, but at least for now, you know, we got this going. Now, I'm going to be all over the place, because I got a bunch of stuff to talk about. I got my Miami Heat about to go start their finals fourth year in a row, and try to win their third in a row, and, you know, big shit, man. I'm really, really, really looking forward to it, and, LeBron's going to do his fucking thing again. All these hating-ass motherfuckers that continue to just want LeBron to fail. Man, my condolences, because it ain't going to fucking happen, man. You know what I mean? The thing is, man, I wish LeBron James had Paul Heyman as his spokesman, because I would love to hear him do that the same way he yells out Brock Lesnar, have him yell out LeBron James at motherfuckers, because he needs somebody to just grinds that knife just a little bit more in the haters, because it's something else, man. It never ends with these people. Actually, it was during the Pacers series I had, you know, went into a little back and forth on the Facebook with Big Vito of, you know, WCW, WWE, ECW, indie fame, and, you know, I mean, guy's a great worker, you know, Skull Von Crush and everything like that, but, I mean, he was another one that jumped right on the hater wagon and just started. During the Pacers series, you had Stevenson running around doing some of the most bitch-ass shit that you can possibly imagine. I mean, he was blowing in LeBron's ear. he would put his fingers up while he's guarding him, like waiting for an inbound pass, and start like putting his fingers in LeBron's mouth and all this other pussy shit. And just like real dirtball shit and just like, you know, borderline homo shit on top of it. Like doing all these different things. And meanwhile, LeBron fouls out of one game. You know, dude had five fouls like dumb early. And, you know, I mean, most of the fouls were legit. They, you know, they put it on him. They were able to pressure him enough to have him draw fouls. You know, a couple bullshit fouls. But either way, when you're talking about one of the best players to play the game, the best player in the game on either side of the court fouling out of the game, you don't expect him to act happy about it. So, you know, oh, he had 7 points, and oh, he cries when he doesn't get his way, this and that. If you have any love for what you do, and you play at a level LeBron James does, and you aren't upset when you foul out of the game, then there's something wrong with your passion for the game. I don't get the criticism that, oh, he's crying and he always cries when he doesn't get his way nonsense. Because I honestly think there's nothing about that dude that's, you know, that type of player. I mean, really, he went out there the next game and just busted his ass. Like I said, and to say that this guy disgusts you, this and that. On the other side of the ball, Stevenson putting his fingers in his mouth and shit. So really, the other time too, he walked up on the huddle. The Heat got the huddle going, and he just walks up and kind of leans in like he's part of the team. Like, just bitch-ass shit, you know? So when it's like LeBron sickens you because he's upset that he fouled out of the game, and, you know, come on, man. It's not that. You're just dying to hate. You know, and as soon as somebody has a bad game, all of a sudden it's like, oh, this is what he's worth. Like, get out of here, man. You know, this guy's reputation speaks for itself. Everyone wants to continue to compare him to Jordan, which is ridiculous because they're two different players. But, you know, this is now 4 times in a row he's been to the finals, and that's something Jordan never did. Sure, he won 6 of them, but to be honest, you look back at the, you know, the lineage and the history of Jordan, you had... At his age, which I believe LeBron's 28, and I believe when Jordan was 28, they both had 2 rings. So right now, at this point, he's even. He's already topped the amount of assists that Jordan had in his entire career. He's already topped Jordan's career-high assists. So, you know, people that want to go out of their way and, you know, call LeBron not a good teammate or, oh, he whines and it's all about him, well, then why does he have so many assists if it was all about him? You know, I mean, that dude he makes his whole team better, and that's bottom line. Motherfuckers hate it because it's not their team, you know, and it's just a goddamn shame that they got to continue with this bullshit. But anyway, I'll be watching this game while I do this and talk this and that. Didn't do the show on Wednesday for a couple reasons, yesterday. Well, one, I have an infected tooth, which Tuesday... I'm actually going to have to go in and do the whole dental surgery thing. It knocked out all that to the tune of $1,100. So I'm fucking, man, I had to put down 390 something or some shit like that. I had to put down almost $400 today just to lock in the appointment. And if I don't show up, they keep the dough. Like it's some like no back out clause type money I just dropped today just so I can make sure that I get this shit done at 4 o'clock on Tuesday. So, you know, they knock me out and everything on Tuesday and do the whole thing. And then I won't, you know, I'll be done with the fucking dental pain stuff. This shit's crazy. Meanwhile, I still do have my race on Saturday, which of course I'm going 100% at. The other thing that I did last night, yesterday, is I brought home, another cat. His name's Montana. He's a 7-year-old Bengal. I named him Montana. He's one of the most vocal cats in the world. Let me see if actually I can get him on the show real quick. Montana. I don't know if you can hear that. There you go. Yeah, right in the mic. Yeah, he's off the hook, man. He just walked right in the house, walked past the other cats, like, all right, I'm going to check out the other room and shit. Like, they whipped their heads around, like, who the fuck? You know, it's crazy shit, man, how quick he settled in. He's just trouble. Anybody knows the Bengal breed, they're all over the place. They'll be on your lap, you know, purring and everything else. Then they'll run to the other room, check out what's going there, sit down on somebody else's lap, come back to your shit, check out the window. I mean, they're all over the place. Very, very smart cats. So a bunch of different things going on there. You know, like I said, some up, some down is what it is. Still getting used to this whole thing. This mic situation is not good for me. The way it came off on air the other day when I tested it, sounds great. That's great, but I can't hear myself. So I don't know, you know what I mean, what levels or any of that type of stuff. I can't hear it, which is a huge problem that I have to solve before the next time I have a guest, because I can't hear anything coming through. So if I were to be having a conversation with somebody, that wouldn't be coming through on my mic whatsoever. I'd more or less have to hear what they're saying through my computer speakers, which I would then have to talk back to through my headset, which is pretty impossible and pretty retarded way to go about things. Speaking about cats, I wanted to touch on this. Teddy Hart did a show in Jersey. This is a bullshit show. I forget what the hell it was called, Jersey something or other. But, you know, on the same show, just to emphasize that I'm not just burying the show for no reason, and I'm not really burying the show, just calling it a bullshit show. Doink the Clown, you know, not the one that passed away, obviously, wrestled a banana on the same show. So, you know, lest anybody think that I'm over-exaggerating and calling it a bullshit show when it was a completely respectable, you know, lineup. Come on. Doink the Clown wrestled a banana. Yeah. So, anyway, he did a match, and it was like him and the Hit Squad, and you know, they had a whole thing going. He involved the cat again. And as a cat lover, I've always been a pro Teddy Hart guy. I mean, I know the guy's batshit crazy. I told him myself when he was on my show, I think he's a ton of fun. I think his energy, his intensity, his athleticism, all those things are good for wrestling. Of course, the way he carries himself isn't good for his own career or for his own well-being, but that's on him. You know what I mean? I just know, you know, when you show up and Teddy Hart's on the card, some wild shit's probably going to happen because he just really doesn't give a shit. And, you know, he's athletic enough to give you a really good show. You know, I was there when he did the scramble thing and the scramble cage thing and the whole CZW experience. So all that stuff. So I've always been a pro Teddy Hart guy as far as, you know, that type of thing. There, LeBron James down the court. Early. Points right off the, you know what I mean? 7-2 to start. So, I've always been for that. But as far as cats go, man, I work with cats for 13 years now. And I know what's good and what's not good. And, that bullshit with the cats, first off, if it's not over with a cat lover, who the fuck's gonna be over with? You really gonna try to cater to the couple kids and like, oh my god, look, a cat. Really, that doesn't sell your shit any more than anything else. Then the oven mitt pants that you knit together, people go, oh, look how shiny, and then they move on. It doesn't need to involve a live animal. He seems to think that this is like the wave of the future, that he has his, you know, his finger on the pulse of entertainment, and involving animals is going to be this new thing that no one thought of, and it's so genius, and he's out of his goddamn mind, which, again, you know, it's no surprise to Teddy Hart and his ways of being, but it's not good for the cat. It's not over. It's not going to be something that generates more money. And in the same token, he's just using an animal as a prop. And it's not cool. And the cats aren't. He could talk all this. The cats are trained to bullshit. He put the cat on Monster Mac's back. The cat sat there for a minute. He pet it. Fucking idiot. Fucking ref. Brett went pet the cat. This and that. And the next thing you know, the fucking cat just takes off. Runs out of the ring. Runs away from the chick that was with him. Runs away, just runs into the crowd, past the crowd, and this was a little small house and stuff like that. So you imagine, like, if he did the same thing back, you know, ECW, CZW Arena with, you know, 1,000, 1,500 people in there, half of them are drunk and shit. It could easily happen to the cat. People are in and out of the door, and that could happen at any show, and the cat takes off out the door, gets fucking hit by a car. I mean, any of this shit could happen. It's just an ignorant-ass thing to do as far as I'm concerned. There's no positives to it other than going, oh, look at Teddy and the cat. Like, it's just like, it's a worthless gimmick. It's not going to get anywhere. It really has nothing to do with wrestling. He supposedly likes cats, but he does ignorant ass shit with him. Like, he flips him upside down and shit like that, and then goes, "Look, cat loves it." No, the cat doesn't fucking love it, dude. I've worked with cats for 13 years. There's nothing about what you do with cats that fucking cats love. I mean, it's just, it's fucking ridiculous. I absolutely despise that whole gimmick. So, I wish it would stop. I hope buildings, like, start fucking, you know, just cracking down on no animals in the building, or something that just prevents him from doing it. I don't care what it is, you know, I just, for the safety of the cats and well-being of that thing, just don't fucking, let's not smash these two things together with animals and wrestling and cut it out already, you know? So I just had to point that out. I guess about my race, this Saturday, doing a 5-mile joint, supposed to have a bunch of fucking obstacles, like tons of shit. It's called a Rock Solid Run. And that's an English town where I did Tough Mudder, so, you know, I've been to the place before. I gotta leave here at like 7:30, 7:45 in the morning and shit for this. So, situation, hopefully the antibiotics knock down the pain some before then. But I'll be ready to go either way. I'm really excited for it, and especially after that last bullshit race that I just fucking waded through the swamp, the freezing cold swamp. This is going to be intense. And then 2 weeks later, you know, the following week I got Tournament of Death. Then the week after that, doing the Badass Bash. And I actually signed up for the Elite class, which has me starting my race at 8:45 in the morning. So that's the first time I've ever done one of the Elite class things, which is pretty much the more competitive people before your pedestrian-type motherfuckers show up. That shit. And I'm pretty excited about it. You know, I was reading what they said about it, and they're like, you know, recreational class is for everyone from casual people to this and this, and, you know, competitive, whatever. And then they said the elite class is for trained people who are trained in obstacle races as well as police, firemen, first responders, whatever, military people and shit like this. But the way that they put it, and like athletes who are about this shit. And if I don't fall into that class, then I really don't know who is. I mean, I'm pretty goddamn confident in myself that, you know, I've been training my ass off and everything. Maybe not, you know, top notch as far as my running, but, you know, I'm the anti-runner for those who don't know me. I ran 6 miles last week. And that was the last time I ran because the tooth pain just really took me out of training and shit for this week leading up. It's ridiculous. Terrible timing. But I ran 6 miles, and that was like, oh, man. I'm trying to think exactly what the time was. I think I typed it down somewhere, but I don't know. But decent time. Honestly, decent time. So I was really happy about that. I always like to be able to run at least up to or more than the distance of the race I'm going into about a week before. So I know that, oh, they're sending me a 5 miles. I run 6. I know I can handle it come, you know, race day. And the, you know, the big deal is too, the obstacles actually give you breaks from the running if, you know, if it's a lung issue or something like that. And I'm good on obstacles, so I'm all for it. So that's that. You know, I think I'm going to take a break. I'm going to, you know, this thing with being tethered to the computer is, you know, not all it's cracked up to be. I like to be able to walk around and talk and do the thing on the show. But, you know, it is what it is. So I'll take, you know, maybe an extra break or something like that tonight. But let me just start out with a little Sean Price. I know it's no stranger to the show. So I'll play this and I'll come back. Got a bunch of shows. All right.
Yeah. Yo, Wuha, what up? Let's play freeze tag with ice picks. Night shift selling white shit to white chicks. Bikes with vice grips, puffed up hubbies. For the crime, do shine time, that's fucked up. You the type to get fucked up monthly, beat down daily, and smoke up your disability check. Sean Price, bout as real as you get. I'm no fool, I'm old school, like I'm hard as steel, more with the sketch. If you walk on my block and talk about rough, you get touched, motherfucker, cause you talk too much. Come walk with me, so you all can see how I get those spit flows to an awkward beat. Better look both ways when you cross the street. The Pirelli's on
the porch, push you off your feet. Sharp. One half of the incredible rap team. Y'all niggas smoked out. Incredible.
Hey, y'all niggas is too old to think the way you do. And you cowards never do what you say you do. I'm in the hood running with the same crazy crew. When you ain't nice, you sound like Jay-Z too. Niggas is frontin',
word up,
acting like bad boys. Y'all moving silent, we make mad noise. When it's beef in the streets, we don't try and make peace. I got killers that just blaze and they don't make peace.
Let's go.
S dot, eyes dog with the long sleeve. Ghetto bitch, fat ass with the long
weave. Hey yo, get down, lay down, everybody get on the floor. This is beef, you don't want that bar. Better warn everybody in your city, your town. Let them know what, this is a shakedown.
Hey yo,
get down, lay down, everybody get on the floor. This is beef, you don't want that bar. Let them warn everybody in your city, your town. Let them know what, this is a shakedown.
Green star, camouflage, bar the ball. Park car, cognac, it's a Mardi Gras. Roll a big Marley, y'all, front those cigars. I got mommy in the back with the guard. Back to the car, hit it in the back of the car. Have me fiddling with the latch on the bra. I was tugging at the strap on the thong. Thugging like a rap nigga song. Rising to the crack of the dawn. She make a nigga wanna come back in the morn. Make her want a nigga back after I'm gone. That's what I'm on. Baby got back, word is born. Have you like damn, that shit is wrong. Have you like damn, that shit is strong. Yeah, strip down, lay down, sell all dogs, do it raw. Yeah, four door, gator sport, all 24s. Fuck town, USA, connect with your boys.
Yo, shorty look good. Nah, she ugly, but I'm drunk as hell, so fuckin' shorty look good. The bitch did eat, plus she smoked good trees. So me being who I be, I had to do me. The bitch wanted me to straight spendin' the cash. Slow up, slow fuck, titty pin the grass. No, I'm quick to pin your ass. The fuck over down, jumping in Tim's and Dash. Yo, she talking about that ain't fair. Bitch, that's $2, fuck you mean that ain't fair. Yo, Sean Price and the price is cheaper. Only splurge on iceberg, Nikes and reefer. Timberland boots and plus a gun to shoot. And a pocket full of coke in case I don't recoup. Cause time is money and money is time. And I got just enough time to get that money.
Hey yo, get down, lay down. Everybody get on the floor. This is beef, you don't want that bar. Better warn everybody in your city, your town. Let them know what, this is a shakedown.
Hey
yo, get down, lay down. Everybody get on the floor. This is beef, you don't want that bar. Better warn everybody in your city, your town. Let them know what, this is a shakedown.
Shakedown.
All right, I'm back. You know, I wanted to talk a little bit about football, mostly 49er business, of course. Colin Kaepernick signed $110 million over 6 years. And, you know, that puts him in the top 10 highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL right now. And I got to tell you, he's a top 10 quarterback. I know a lot of people might disagree, but I'm telling you, this guy is a high caliber quarterback, and you're going to see. I mean, we have not seen the best of Colin Kaepernick yet. The guy has some of the best running ability out of any quarterback in the league, if not the best, as well as an absolute cannon for an arm. And you usually get one or the other. You usually don't get both. And the guy's got a cannon, very, very good accuracy. Some of his decision-making is a little, you know, young. I mean, that's the best way I could put it, is it's young. He's a little under-experienced and just made a little bit of, bad decisions in times when he's under pressure a little too much and these things. But it all comes with time. I mean, this guy got really early success. His first year as a starter, bang. I mean, look what he did. It's all going to come with time. They say he's just looking fantastic throwing around in the offseason, and he's only going to get better. I mean, you look at the other top 10 quarterbacks. You got guys like Flacco who won a Super Bowl, but it wasn't because of, flat-out quarterback ability. Yeah, his numbers were good, but he had a lot of – I mean, some of those games, he was just dropping back and just launching the ball as far as he could, and he had wide receivers down there, including Bolden, who was just catching the ball and just making it easy on them. I think Matt Ryan is another one of those guys that are in the top 10 highest paid. And Matt Ryan got shit on Colin Kaepernick. I don't give a fuck what nobody says. So, I mean, you go over those top 10, and Tony Romo might paid up in there in that top 10. Fuck out of here with some Tony Romo. You know, so, I mean, it is what it is. I think he fully deserves it. Another cool thing about Colin, which is very interesting to me, is apparently he is going to be the first and only player in the new Madden game coming out this upcoming year who has his tattoos in the game, which to me is good because he just looked like some random white dude in the game. He really just looked like a white dude and just, you know, looked like old school games where there would just be like a white dude or a black dude, and that was it. That was like the most identification you had was the number on the jersey and the color of the dude, and then that's that. And it's not even accurate to what Colin is and stuff, you know? Color-wise, he's not just... So, Dad, I'm crazy pale. But anyway, one thing I thought was really, really interesting about that is apparently the legality of it, they were saying that they had to get licensing, they had to get a release form signed by the artist of the tattoos, not Colin Kaepernick, be in the game. The artist holds rights to your tattoos, which I find amazing. They said, actually, even Mike Tyson's tattoo on his face is copyrighted by the artist. So can you imagine that you get all tatted up and then your pictures can't really, I mean, your pictures could be used, I guess, but certain amounts of your likeness could not be recreated because the art on you does not technically belong to you? I mean, that shit just sounded insane to me. And, you know, they got all, you know, the signatures and the waivers and all that stuff. But that's some pretty intense stuff. Especially when people were like, oh, I'm going to go out of my way to get all these tats for originality and to be myself. And the next thing you know, being yourself isn't even full ownership of your own likeness. That was some pretty intense shit. I actually want to, you know, find out a little bit more of that because I've never heard no shit like that before. Another thing that's being talked about in the Niner camp is Vernon Davis. Vernon Davis is apparently supposedly not really happy with his contract. Now, Vernon Davis, I mean, you can remember back early in his career, had somewhat of a diva attitude. Singletary had told him, like, go home. He just, like, sent him home. Like, he wasn't having his attitude, told him, sit down, can't play with your attitude, you know, that's it, can't do it. And Vernon Davis is by far one of the best tight ends in the league. I'd say easily top three. You know, he's talking about some things, and it's interesting to me because I think a lot of these things are paving the way for each other. They were talking about Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham wants wide receiver money, which is, I think, a difference of about $5 million to get paid wide receiver money rather than tight end money. And, you know, they asked Vernon about it, and he said, well, I think Jimmy, you know, deserves that. And then he kind of, you know, backed off it when they said, well, what about you? And he's like, oh, you know, I'll let that speak for itself. I'm not, you know, that's not for me to say, da-da-da, kind of where we're headed. Now, I personally think, though, a top five or top three, I mean, I'm a Niner fan, so I'm going to say top three, but, I mean, you got to at least go top five as far as Vernon Davis goes. You know, even if you're not a Niner fan, you can hate the 49ers, and you still got to put Vernon Davis as one of the top five tight ends in the league. If you go top five tight ends in the league, to say that those top five aren't worth wide receiver money, I think is pretty crazy. So I would say 100% that even though he's been known for diva attitude and stuff like that, Vernon Davis is an absolute X factor with us. There's been many and many a times that Vernon Davis's play has saved the game or made the game for us. So Vernon Davis is a key player. And if you can't afford Vernon Davis at a wide receiver type fee, somebody else is going to pay him that. So as much as I hate to see a dude like hold out for money or anything like that, he claims he's pro Niner. He wants to retire as a Niner. He bleeds red and gold. I mean, according to him, he's not talking about shopping around, but you know, he feels he's deserved the money. But he's staying kind of low-key about it. But in the same token, you see the writing on the wall with him. And I think they got to come to terms with it. I don't know what type of money is going to be available. We are star-studded when it comes right down to it. When half our team is up for contract renewal, I don't know. It's going to be a continuous issue to try to keep these guys, especially defensively, talking about Pat Willis and Navarro Bowman and these type of guys. You know, Deshaun Goldson had to go the past year, ended up going and signing a huge contract with the Bucks that we couldn't have handled. Now, we ended up getting Eric Reed out of college, and I honestly think Eric Reed's a better player. I think he's a smarter player. I think he's one of those dudes that, you know, is a game changer. And they said a lot of guys on the field were pretty much saying that he's a guy that plays like a vet. First year in, and he's already playing like a vet. He's smart. He's learning. He's all over the place. He has great field vision. He's a smarter player than Deshaun Goldson. Deshaun Goldson was a bigger hitter. And Eric Reed's a big hitter, too. Unfortunately, he has a little bit of issues with concussions. So he's hit himself into concussions while hitting other people, which is, you know, not what you want to see out of your safeties, where they're knocking themselves out of the game with hits. But hopefully that subsides over the years. I mean, only time will tell. But I'm really happy with him. Then last year, we just lost Dante Whitner. And, you know, we'll have to see on how that pans out and fill in that position. But little by little, we're losing little pieces, but we seem to be filling those gaps pretty well. There's some big names that I don't think we can afford to lose, and we got to see how we lock those down over the years. So we're going to see, but I think we got a lot of big contracts in the future, and we're going to really, really have to see how that pans out, because some of these guys were signed at their early contracts, but when it comes back around, they're some of the best in the league. You know, best linebacker core in the league, and no babies about it. Pat Willis and Navarro Bowman is one of the best 1-2 punches on that side of the field. There's really no talking your way out of that. Now, of course, my fucking fantasy is us going to the Super Bowl this year, and we got a home game because it is in our brand new stadium this season. So to wind this all up and wind up in the Super Bowl at home, how fucking sweet would that be? That shit would be off the chain. So that's that. That's all I got with the football things. Now, CZW had a show in Ohio. I really didn't hear anything about it. I read the results real quick, but I really didn't hear any buzz coming from it. Just my opinion here, but I really think it's a dumb venture. I think it's really doing the Chris a favor and pretty much nothing else. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's giant money coming out of this and exposure, but I don't see Ohio as a big exposure area. You know, CZW is not finding their way into New York. They're not finding their way into, you know, Southern California, into these other hotbeds of, you know, of wrestling. They're not going places that are going to provide more exposure to maybe open more eyes to bring more money in. They're going to, like, the home base of one of their, you know, some of their wrestlers. It's like a birthday party for the Chris. They just bring the guys by. Let's do a show out there. I got a lot of people out there that love wrestling. Like, that's great, but I mean, the Chris were on my show saying that Ohio had nothing. Ohio had no wrestling, anything. Anything there was garbage. They started up their, you know, their training and everything, and really started bringing some, you know, credibility to the training that was being done out there, because prior to that, everything that was offered to them was garbage. So they've done a lot bringing that, but I think this is kind of the same thing. They're bringing CZW there to bring more of a quality product to Ohio. That doesn't do shit for CZW. That does something for Ohio, and that's awful nice of them. But I just don't see it as something that's going to blow CZW up. And I would like to see them, you know, hit more ventures or venues. That is a plus. I know Beyond Wrestling does their thing. Wherever is that? Rhode Island or Connecticut or whatever they do with that venue. I like that venue. I really pro CZW because it's one of those venues that kind of stands out. And it's not that far off base from where they're at. So you're not going halfway across the country to somewhere that's, you know, Ohio is, it might be for killers, but it's, you know, for losing franchises in sports and not known for huge money generating. It's just one of these things. LeBron left Cleveland, the fucking Browns left Cleveland. They had to, wait for the teams to come back around to create another Browns. The whole fucking team left Cleveland. So I don't know about, Ohio being a hotbed for, money-drawing wrestling. But, again, maybe I'm wrong. I'm no promoter, so I have no idea. I'm just saying, from an outsider's standpoint, that I just can't see it as, the best possible idea. What I did hear out of that is DJ Hyde had some big death match with Ron Mathis, which to me makes zero sense. Even if you type something up on the website and said Ron Mathis said something, and now DJ Hyde's going to teach him a lesson, that still doesn't make any fucking sense to me. When DJ Hyde is a guy who's feuding with five different wrestlers at once, he's feuding with G's and Tommy Dreamer and Chris Dickinson and who the fuck else? And Kevin Steen, and then somehow ends up in a crazy blood death match with Ron Mathis, another guy. What is that? It's not like Ron Mathis is a huge face, and this is culminating in something else DJ Hyde's been doing. It's kind of one of those things that, although I'm sure I'll watch it and it'll be an entertaining thing, I do like deathmatch wrestling, but when they talk about making deathmatch wrestling make sense and making, a feud culminate in a deathmatch and some kind of passion or heat or build to leading to a death match, not just a death match for the sake of having a death match, I don't think DJ Hyde versus Ron Mathis is the explanation of that. I don't think that's a good example of a death match with a reason for having it. I just think that's a blood match for the sake of having a blood match. So it's hard for you to pitch to me that's the direction you're going with the company when at any given moment you'll go, okay, oh, Ron Mathis, I guess he's from out there anyway, so it's more of a local guy, and then blood match with DJ for no reason. It just seems absolutely silly, so it is what it is. Let me see, what else do I got? Wait till we talk about that. One thing I was thinking about, and as I got the smartphone, like I said, I'm late or last to the game with the smartphone. But you really start to think about a lot of these different things, and getting a little deep about these different things. But you take a lot of it for granted because the whole way of technology just advances and advances and advances, and we just get handed these things and upgrades and this and that. And people, they tend to spoil themselves, and us as a generation or as just people in general are becoming spoiled over time, and I think they're losing focus with a lot of how good it is. You hear a lot of the, when I was a kid, we didn't have this, or when I was a kid, we didn't have this. Now, although I will agree with that side of things, you've got to see it from a positive and a negative. And the positive about this is look at what our kids do have to grow up with. I mean, there are things we had when we were kids that our parents would have never dreamed of as kids. When we started having our own video game systems, whether it was an Atari or a ColecoVision or the first Nintendo, to being able to walk around with a Game Boy, actually walk around with a video game in our hands, that type of thing, to go back to when our parents were kids to wasn't even thought of, wasn't even fathomed that there would be a day that you owned this type of thing, black and white TVs existed. You never thought you'd have a 40-inch color TV in your house or, even when I was a kid, a big screen TV. I mean, you might have, I don't know, I mean, depends on who you're talking to, I guess, but I might have known one person that I was friends with or maybe two people that I was friends with that their parents had enough money to have one of those big-ass projection TVs. And it was like being friends with a celebrity, like, oh, shit, you have one of those? My God, surely no one in my family had one of those. To fast forward now where I'm staring at a 40-inch or a 42-inch that I have in my room and going, man, I could really use a new TV, and I'm looking at a 40-inch TV in my room. It's got a little shadow in the middle from, I guess, some of the burn-in stuff when something's paused for too long, you stay on a menu. So I think the screen's a little damaged from that, but it's very minimal. But again, staring at a 40-inch TV in front of you and go, man, I could really use another one of these. It's just, it's beyond. And when you go forward to like a smartphone and these type of things, I'm blown away by the type of thing. Now, you imagine you go to your friend's house, just say you're going to a party or barbecue or something like that, and just imagine the type of things. You walk in there with your smartphone now, you know, standard, you know, iPhone or whatever the case is. Imagine the amount of things you would have had to brought with you to bring the same amount of things with you to said barbecue or party. I mean, the fucking thing's got ability to play music. So one, you'd have to either bring a boombox or a Walkman or some shit like this. You'd have to bring a video camera with you, which would be a production. That wouldn't be like, you know, hey, I got this little camera that fits in my pocket. You would bring a big, bulky-ass video camera with tapes that went in it. You know what I mean? You'd have to bring a video camera, plus a camera, because your video cameras generally didn't take still shots. So then you also got a camera. You'd have to lug a computer with you, because these things double as computers. As well as, you know, the different things that a computer is able to do, such as the weather at the palm of your hands, the, you know, GPS, all that. Yeah, I mean, you would have to look up maps back in the day. You wouldn't have the possibilities of actually, hey, let me, right here, let me see how far we are from that. Oh, okay, good, that's exactly such and such miles. I mean, you would need to know somebody who knew some shit about traveling before you had any of that. Just something as simple as a flashlight. Like, how many times did you show up at your friend's house with a fucking flashlight on you? You know? Portable video game system all in your phone, organizer, notebook. I mean, you look like a freak showing up with all this shit at your friend's house. And this is the type of stuff that you can online shop. You'd be like, yeah, you know, you see something on the TV, or you just see something that somebody else has, and you'd be like, oh, where'd you get that? Oh, let me Google it. Boom, ordered one. I'll have it in 2 days. I mean, the shit's amazing. You know, and not only that, like the social media on top of that. You're listening to a song, you watch a movie, you're out wherever, all of a sudden you send a Twitter message to the guy that was in a movie, and he's like, oh, thanks. Oh, wow, the guy that was in the movie just thanked me for my criticism on the movie. I mean, it's just, it's amazing, and you figure we have all that at our fingertips, and we get spoiled by it because it becomes just another thing. But don't forget, we also have all the things that we did have as a kid and as humankind overall. We do have, like I just finished planting all my peppers and shit that I got. I planted 34 different types of peppers. I mean, you could take a piece of your yard and turn it into whatever you want to do. You can grow flowers or vegetables or whatever. You know, you could learn how to play a sport. You could, you know, a bike or a skateboard, or, I mean, there's so many different things. If you're all about traveling, you can go all out and travel. And then you also have this technology at your fingertips that much easier, you know, overall. And it's crazy to me, because then I don't even know if I can get my point across the right way, but people fall into these depressions. They kind of close up to the world around them. You kind of go day to day, and you hear all these people, and one of my most hated phrases on Facebook is FML, what the fuck my life thing. I really wish I had about 10 seconds to backspace if you use three letters, and if you don't, your computer just explodes and destroys everybody in your room, in the room you're typing in, or your phone explodes and takes you out, or something like that, because you'd be able to broaden your life a little more than whatever little bullshit's going on in your life. You have so much different stuff that is completely wide open. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much to life you can go explore, you could see, or something that can make you happier. You could just make it your own. I mean, you look at, like, a backyard space and just go, man, I could do whatever the fuck I want with this. I could walk out there and go, fuck this, you know, smoke a cigarette, flick it into the yard, and go back in and go, life sucks, man. Or I can make my yard somewhere where I walk back there and go, man, this is like an escape from everything else I'm doing. And, you know, I've done a lot of that. I've planted, you know, tons of different shit in the yard, you know, from grapevines to kiwi plants that haven't produced those fruits just yet, but we're getting there. And, you know, different from that. And it's just, like I said, as the technology advances and you start to get this and start to get a little spoiled, you always try to connect you know, the base elements, or whatever you want to call it, not to sound like, you know, like a tree hugging fan, you know, but, you know, you start to see the different facets of life. You know, a lot of it's just taken for granted. planet. You know what I mean? So I think you know, a lot of this needs to be realized. I mean, you can only imagine the amount of disconnected that our children will be and the next generation will be if not reminded of the different things around. I'm not just saying fuck the technology. You got to look back, look at it all at once. You know, look at this you have to help everything you'd want to do along. Like, I could say, hey, I want to grow this, man. I could Google the fucking top pepper grower in the world and listen to everything they got to say. How would I even know that as a kid? You would have to know somebody who was successful at growing some shit and talk to them or their uncle and shit. My uncle grew some shit. Oh, when are you going to see him next? And then you'd have to talk to them. It's like whatever you do, you could do at a higher level because of the technology and be more efficient at it. So it's, I don't know, it's just really cool shit to me, and technology is still way above my head because you know, I catch on to it a little bit as it goes along. There's always people that are a million times more efficient with it than I am because I'm a little bit technologically retarded. Look at Ray Allen in the corner, wide open, bang, it's almost automatic. Gotta love it. Tie game. This is gonna be a banger, man. I hate Tim Duncan. Fucking hate Tim Duncan. But yeah, that's what that is. You know, I just wanted to babble about that for a minute because a lot of this shit is amazing. But, you know, you look at the different other things you could do, man. He just comes right back down. Fucking lights a three on that side of it. Jesus Christ. All right, so I'm going to take a break, come back, talk a little WWE and all that. Actually, might even be a shorter show than I expected. I must be rattling these topics off a little faster than I expected, but take another break. Let me do this. Let me do the busted track. All
right. Yeah, this next joint right here is dedicated to all my niggas that I love, all the niggas that held it down with me through the whole shit, from the beginning of the fort to the now current day of the fort, from the beginning of the birth of this whole shit to the now success of this whole shit. And all my peoples that be holding it down for they peoples, riding with them through thick and thin. Love y'all niggas. Peep.
One, two, every time I sit and take a look at how we grew so much, my niggas. One, two, all the things I do, you know I will hold my glass for you, my niggas. One, two, every time I sit and take a look at how we grew so much, my niggas. One, two, all the things I do, I will hold my glass for you, my niggas.
Now, this how the shit all started. Was like doctors alleged I was being conceived, kinda retarded like. And while my mom's was conceiving this beautiful baby, doctors misleading this woman, stressed out the Jamaican lady. Pops beefing, straight carrying on, nobody realizing how the God was now being born. Hey yo yo.
One, two.
While they was wilding and shit, they couldn't even find my pulse, sign a gram on a frisk. So they tried a natural birth, but had to stop production. Baby stuck all up in the womb, another malfunction.
One, two.
And now the doctors discover they had to cut this lady gut and C-section me out of my mother. Pop, you could only sit and ask why. Looked up in the sky and begged for mercy from the Most High. Come on now.
One, two.
See, now the day would feel blessed watching the birth of a precious baby life manifest. See how that bugged me out.
Every time I
type shit, you bugging me out,
Corey.
No,
nigga,
look back.
One, two.
This shit is kind of hell like, you know what I mean?
I'm gonna hold my glass for you, my nigga.
This nigga King
said, reach out, fall like, you know what I mean? Take a look at my fucking group so much, my nigga.
You can live long enough to look back at shit,
you know? I'm gonna hold my glass for you, my nigga.
Young and learning shit that started at six, started inquiring a lot, started using my dick like I knew it all, but I wasn't really knowing and shit. Bugging when my pubic hair started growing and shit. Now hold up, a young nigga now, a couple years past, searching desperate to experience my first piece of ass. Now, getting into mischief and caught my first arrest, started smoking weed and started toting on them cigarettes. Eyes bloodshot like I was staring at a high beam. Nigga only 12, so why he looking like he 19?
One, two.
The fast life, baby, young with an old soul from the past life, baby. A young nigga wanted things and wanted money quick. Ambitious on the Amtrak with a quarter brick, my nigga.
One, two.
It got hot in the streets, my nigga. Campaigning cops who started walking the beat, my nigga. Trouble causing too much problems, just me and my brother. Made mommy a grandma and shacked up with my baby mother. Now with a seed, I was always ready to clap shit. Struggling, so then I start fucking around with this rap shit. Moved to Long Island and got up with a few niggas. Believe we could show the world we was the leaders of the new niggas. A crew of niggas that was hot like an infirmary. Blaze until they started acting like bitches internally. So now, this mode is how we own it, for sure. Tried to fuck with niggas, but I couldn't do it no more. For real. And then I got with some niggas, always with it to multiply the gross and double the figures. And then I hit with bombs and hold a stack in my palms. Whipping Bentley's floors, icy shit and take care of moms. Give the local little old man a job as my sofa. Hold it down for all my niggas till the movement is over. It's kinda beautiful.
Every time I sit and take a look,
you know what I mean?
How we have acquired
so much. Where we
you
can
know,
look back
I
and actually
you,
laugh and laugh in the moment.
And take a look at
as
we
prime in
so
life.
Much, my nigga,
look at how we struggled all this way and went through
you
the bullshit.
More
fucking
you,
the little
nigga,
obstacles.
Every time
situations be trying to set up for niggas
we
to fucking
so
fall
much,
off
nigga,
and lose their hard-earned shit. You know what I mean?
I will hold my
hold it down for my niggas, though. Give my last to my niggas
and take a look.
All the niggas that
I
was with me through the whole
so
shit.
Much, my nigga.
All love y'all niggas.
I do. You know, sure. I will hold my last for you, my nigga.
Every time old
I sit and take a look at how we grew so much, my nigga. All the things I do. You know, I will hold my last for you, my nigga. Every time I sit and take a look. How we grew so much, my niggas, 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 niggas.
All right, I'm back. I haven't done one of these in a while. Let me throw one of these down.
I don't like your jerk-off name. I don't like your jerk-off face. I don't like your jerk-off behavior. And I don't like you, jerk-off.
Fuck you.
My jerk-off of the week is these unpaid store greeter motherfuckers. You go to like fucking Wawa or 7-Eleven or one of these convenience stores, and you know, I know it's more so in the suburbs than it is, you know, in other places, but you get these motherfuckers that spend hours of their morning just hanging out at the fucking store and looking at you like you're fucking weird for stopping by, getting a coffee, and going to your motherfucking job. Half of this shit is jealousy, because I'm jealous that they have that much time to fucking waste and stand there all goddamn morning while I'm on my way to work. And the other half is just hating that that's what the fuck they would do with their time is stand there. These motherfuckers will stand out front of the store for 3-4 hours and you'll see them there every goddamn day you go to work. Every damn day, and I work 6 days a week. You know? And then, wintertime, they'll take their shit inside and stand around the fucking coffee aisle. You know, the coffee fucking island. They'll center their shit around there and act like that's... I can't understand it. I just can't understand it. So those are the jerk-offs of the week. All of them. Fuck them. All right. WWE. Put on another, and I'm not going to go top to bottom as far as the pay-per-view goes. Just a few things that, you know, I saw stood out to me. You know, mostly the big matches. You know, the two mains or whatever you want to call it. They actually put on another entertaining pay-per-view, as far as I'm concerned. You know, doing some things there. One thing I do hate quite a bit is the usage of Kofi Kingston. I think Kofi Kingston is an extremely athletic guy, a guy who, you know, was put in there with athletes. It would really, really excel. You know, it's a guy who they've actually built to a certain extent before, an intercontinental title and all those things, and then they just have him just get murdered. He was supposed to fight, Bo Dallas, and set to fight Bo Dallas, who has, you know, the ultimate trolling gimmick, which it is what it is. I don't, you know, it works. He's supposed to make people hate him, so everyone who's enraged by him, he's doing his job. He comes out, Kofi comes out, Kane comes out, chokeslams Kofi, Kofi's dead, And now Bo Dallas stands over and tells him, like, you'll recover. You just got to believe and all this other bullshit. So, so boom. That's it. He's gone. That's it. So then I think he came back like the next night and then still lost to Duke. But I can't understand it. Why they would just continuously job that dude out? I don't know. Treat him like a complete joke with the athleticism he's had. I mean, even, you know, going from the Royal Rumble moments that he's had where they did the different athletic shit with him to then just, oh, okay, yeah, knock him off the apron now. Like, look how amazing. Okay, he's out. It seems like just complete misuse. I can only imagine if Kofi Kingston was on the indies and they put him up in there with Ricochet and guys like that, like the amazing shit they'd be able to pull off. I'd like to see definitely the day where, and if they're jobbing him out so hard, why not send him, you know, they allow people to go, you know, work NXT matches too. They'll send some guys down there working NXT match or something. I'd like to see Pac versus, or Adrian Neville versus Kofi Kingston and shit like this. You know, send him down there to wrestle Generico and stuff. Which, you know, I haven't seen all the NXT, so I don't know if any of these things have happened, but I'd like to see him in there with some athletes and really, you know, go back and forth and do some cool shit. I just think he's definitely misused, just being a job guy like that. The Bray Wyatt and John Cena match, last man standing match. I thought this was really, really good. They did a lot of really good shit in that match. I thought the Bray Wyatt getting the stairs thrown at his face, the steel steps thrown at his face by Cena, was fucking insane. Like, deathmatch quality bump, you know what I mean? Like, it's the same type of thing if you've seen somebody do that on the indies and stuff, and it's holy shit chant. Absolutely should have been, you know, just that should have blew everybody's mind that saw it, because that shit was crazy. It wasn't a glancing blow. He took that shit straight on. That shit looked fucking crazy. That shit looked insane. And I thought if they were going to add blood to that match, so to speak, you know, if he was going to blade to anything and, you know, sell that, you know, the danger of whatever was going on, I think they should have absolutely done it there. It doesn't take away from it that he didn't, as far as I'm concerned, but I definitely think it would have added to it, and I think a lot more people would have appreciated it just because they'd see color and just go, oh my God, he fucking killed him. And then when you saw the replay, you go, oh, that's where it happened. You know, it would make the people who didn't get it just from seeing the impact or whatever you want to call it, how well it was done. I mean, they pulled out a shit off absolutely perfect. It looks fucking brutal to me. And the fact that he wasn't legitimately hurt by it and shows that they did it absolutely perfectly to, you know, still be safe about it and look like absolute death. So, that I liked a lot. You know, you had, the Usos out there to help out, Cena. And obviously the Wyatts out there with Bray Wyatt. You had Luke Harper, Brody Lee, superplex one of the Usos to a table on the outside from the top rope. And I got to be honest with you, I think the indie guys coming into the WWE, I think there were a lot more eyes on the indies in order to, you know, to get these guys recruited up there, you know, to, you know, find the guys that they were, hold on, my TV's trying to change to some bullshit while I'm watching the game. So, I think it, you know, it put a lot more eyes on the indies and what was going on the indies, including the deathmatch, hardcore type spots that the indies were pulling off. And I think having guys coming up from the indies that are also willing to do some of the things that some of these writers probably did catch a glimpse of, you know, I think it allowed a lot more of it to be used in the WWE, because I don't think you saw nearly as many, like, spots on the floor or this off of there through a table on the floor. Even, you know, when there are hardcore match days, you know, WWE hardcore titles. I mean, you had your brawling and stuff like that, but not so much like suplex to the outside type stuff. I really think that was influenced by the indies and the guys coming in off the indies, like I said, being willing to do it, and maybe some of the guys have the ideas, hey, let's do that. Hey, I was on the show, you know, I was on the show with fucking Necro, or I did this with that guy, and, you know, I honestly think it has a huge influence. You know, flaming table spot on the last pay-per-view, fucking suplex to the floor on this pay-per-view. Yeah, I definitely think it's got something to do with it, you know, and people love to kind of downgrade the indie influence and just say, oh, no, it's still what it is, and telling you, a lot more guys have been able to come in. Their horizons have seemingly broadened as far as the type of guy that they allow to, you know, I don't know exactly how to put it, to let in or allow to shine or whatever you want to call it. I mean, you had your Daniel Bryans and your CM Punks being the pinnacle of the success that you've seen out of, like, indie guys. But I don't think it just ends there. You know, you get the smaller class of guys that are now being allowed chances. And I keep seeing this commercial. It's got fucking Batista and a raccoon as superheroes, and slightly intriguing. I saw it a lot because every time I'd watch a video on ESPN.com, they have a display is like the before you watch this video, watch this shit. And yeah, it's like fucking Batista and a raccoon, like, fucking shit up. So, I forget what it's even called, and I've seen this, commercial 18 times. So, let me see, what is it? Guardians of something, I think. Guardians of the, something or other. You say the name of the fucking movie already? Jesus Christ. Guardians of the, raccoon. Guardians of the Galaxy, that'll do. All right, so, but yeah, I think the indies are influencing a lot, and, you know, you see a lot of these more fast-paced matches, and as far as, like, some of the style that they're allowing, as far as what Daniel Bryan's doing out there, you know, you get some quality shit. Even when they had the, you know, Albert, or Tensai, when he had his small time of allowing to be, you know, a tough guy and stuff before they made him dance, him versus Sheamus. One of the most hard-hitting matches I've seen in the WWE in a long time. Really, really kicked the shit out of each other. I mean, that was straight Japanese influence all day long. And Tensai spending all the time he did in Japan, no surprise, but just a surprise that you saw that style being done in the WWE. So I think, like I said, the horizons have been broadened a little bit to the style that's allowed, and it's not just that typical trademark WWE style. The PG style, if you will, that type of thing. I don't know. I think there's a lot more to it. And a lot of people, you know, still shit on the product and act like everyone's getting held down and, you know, this guy and that guy should be in the WWE, otherwise I won't watch it, and I don't understand. This guy's getting held down and Daniel Bryan's getting held down, and it's like, dude, don't fucking not. What are you talking about? The big rumor now, too, is that SummerSlam is going to be Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar, and that sounds pretty fucking crazy. That'll be insane. I'm definitely looking forward to that if that's what's going to go down. Everyone's begging for Punk to come back. I don't know if it's going to happen. It really doesn't seem like it. It's been teased and teased. Well, they didn't even tease it. They just, like, stopped by Chicago, and they're like, he's got to be here. It's fucking, his house is down the street. He's got to be. What else could happen? He's got to be here. And he really doesn't have to be anywhere. But I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with that. But yeah, Brock and Daniel Bryan could be very, very good. I'm also wondering, too, if Brie, that's the one he's with, Brie is pregnant, and that's why they're doing this whole thing. I don't know. It was just like my first thought when they were doing the whole fired, quit, all that, da-da-da, if she disappears. You know, they just got married and stuff like this. Wouldn't surprise me one bit to hear she was pregnant and taking time off, and then they did the whole angle around it. Makes sense, but who fucking knows? All speculation. And I really wouldn't give a shit one way or another whether she was wrestling or not. But, what else? Brock. Oh, speaking of Brock, The Undertaker was asked recently if he, you know, any thoughts on doing next year's WrestleMania. And he said it doesn't look good. So maybe that'll be it and it'll be done. I just don't see a lot of reasons to wrestle continued after that. It was brutal. It did not look good. He did not look good at all. And that was with a year off leading up to it. It's fucking time, for Christ's sakes. Put him in the goddamn Hall of Fame. Put him and Kane in the Hall of Fame. And just call it a day. I still think his career should have ended with him and Kane. You know? I don't think the streak should have been broken. But if they were going to break the streak, I think they should have kept the streak alive, had him do some form of retirement or I'm walking away type thing, had someone call him out, get like personal and have him resist, no, I'm retired, fucking Undertaker gone, and then have him come back as himself, like everyone likes to use their real names, have him come back as himself, and then, you know, in some kind of personal, you know, brawl battle type thing, end up losing a WrestleMania match as, you know, Mark Calloway because the Undertaker is no more type thing. You know what I mean? And then maybe even doing another one where he finds his powers again, the Undertaker's back, and then he wins another one. So by technicality, the Undertaker's never lost a match at WrestleMania. However, when he wasn't the Undertaker, he did. You know what I mean? Like something to bring the aura around. Or gives you the suspension of disbelief to say, but he lost, but he wasn't the Undertaker. Okay, well now, oh shit, the Undertaker's back. Does he still have it, you know? I mean, if you wanted to keep it going, because I think he should have retired a couple years ago, but if you wanted to keep it going, they should have did something other than just continually throwing people at him. And then Brock Lesnar being the guy, you know, hey man, Brock's a beast and everything like that, but what does it do? I mean, the guy's on such a limited schedule. His contract has him at just a handful of days, and that's all he has to do to even fulfill his contract. I don't understand putting him over that streak thing. I don't know. It is what it is. What else? The finish to that, too, I thought was really cool, and it really did allow Bray Wyatt to stay strong because, you know, doing the thing where he has to stay down, and he gets thrown through a box, and the other box gets pushed on top of him, trapping him underneath it so he couldn't even get up, you know. I think that was really cool. Good finish. And, the only thing I would say, you know, maybe to do a little bit just to add to it is have the Wyatt family, you know, rush down there before the 10 count and try to get the box off of him, and maybe they can't or they can't in time, and then he comes out after the 10. Something like that. But, I mean, you know, like I said, I'm nitpicking. I really think the finish was, you know, just fine. I had zero problem with it. And I think that was a really good way to give Cena the win and then keep Bray Wyatt strong. I know it would have been nice to put Bray Wyatt over, but, you know, Cena. He's the WWE Superman, and he's got to continue to do that. So it's not a surprise to me. I'm not appalled by anything that they do that way. But it's good to see them keep him strong by, you know, having him trapped under the box. So, then you got the main where Batista just looks like a fucking just ridiculous, and the motherfucker's wearing Jordans, you know? But he looked like fucking Randy Couture out there and shit with that fucking hair growing in and the bald spot. Shit looked ridiculous. I was surprised to see the Shield go 3-0, you know, have nobody eliminated out of there. But another great match, lots of fun. I mean, those six men have been really good. And I'm not a big Triple H fan, and I'm not, you know, I definitely don't like Batista. Not a huge Orton fan, honestly. But, I mean, I wouldn't consider, you know, Triple H or Orton, like, really bad wrestlers or anything like that. They're, you know, they're great at what they do. I've just never been, they've never been, like, my dudes to watch. I don't think Batista's very good. I really don't. You know, and whether it's, you know, a partial work or shoot or whatever the case is, a lot of people had said that backstage he wasn't happy with his reaction. He expected to come back to a monster reaction, and people really barely cared. I mean, sure, he got paid whatever he was. People really didn't. They really expected. And, you know, I mean, he came back and just ridiculous, those fucking jeans and then James were splitting because he needed to paint the shit. I mean, just it was fucking ridiculous. Like, all this little midlife crisis shit going on out there. Fucking nose ring painted on and written in a ring. Can't even fucking do a sit-out power because it's fucking be, I mean, it looks crap. And then they immediately turned to me. Fuck. No, there's no way to just, like, okay, Batista's back. They're like, I don't really give a fuck. So they just quickly did information was a good idea. But, you know, as we go forward with that, they didn't have the Young Hungry guy anymore. Orton wasn't a Young Hungry guy anymore. He was a main event guy for quite some time. What was it? Kind of Batista ended up being the lowest on the totem pole, so it kind of switched things around because he was a continuous reputation, so it wasn't like Triple H, Batista, and Triple H, Norton, and then so it shook down going into Monday night, and what they did there, Buck and Batista supposedly quits, whatever the case is. Whether that's a work or not a work or whatever, they're not going to do anything now. With Batista. Batista just turned on the heels and walked away. And then they're like, you know, fuck you, so you're fired, don't even try to come back, whatever. And, like, he can't, the fact is a face, not give a shit. Like, he can come out and just start, like, laying Triple H out, and no one is going to do shit about it. Like, no one's going to pop. That's not going to get over. So, it's got to be legit, because if it's not, I can tell anything that's not over. But doing the Rollins heel turn, I'm all for it. I love the Shield, and if they kept the Shield as that same three-man unit for years, I'd be all for that too, because I thought they were a perfect unit. They worked really well together. Everything's great. However, my option for Seth Rollins, the guy who a lot of people would have said, not everybody, but a lot of people were saying was the weakest link of the crew. A lot of people would say Dean Ambrose was the guy who was going to be a star, and then, you know, people started looking at Roman Reigns going, well, he's the biggest of the group, and he has that, you know, the female following, and, you know, he's obviously the big, strong guy out of the group. As far as, you know, his physique goes, that's more fitting to what WWE is looking for. Started to look like that. Well, now, Rollins is that young, hungry guy with the evolution. Now, this guy, Triple H, they don't just handle H. I mean, look at what the fuck they're doing to Kofi Kingston. They don't just, you know, out of Triple H and, titles. Wrong phrasing. But, if they didn't think he had something. And I think for him going up against the Shield will be awesome pairings as well. I think they'll definitely add somebody to the NXT. I don't know. Obviously, you know, as a CZW mark, me and anybody else who is a CZW guy would love Solomon Crowe brought up and have him be part of the Shield. He'd fit perfect. It would work perfect. But I don't think there's a chance in hell of that happening. I think Pac would work out absolutely perfect. Adrian Neville, I think you can put a fucking flak jacket on him, have him run around out there and be the crazy flyer out of the group. I think he would work great. I mean, there's a lot of guys. Take the Young Buck gimmick off of that other guy that they got in NXT. What's that guy's name? The blonde dude. He's got a Young Buck gimmick. Like this pants from the Young Bucks. Fuck. I don't remember his name. But, that guy, you could fucking switch the gear up on him, make him part of the show. I mean, there's so many different guys that it would be a huge push. I don't think Generico would look good in that role or Sami Zayn. But, I mean, there's a lot they could do. A lot they could do to make one of those guys from NXT. I honestly tend to think they're going to take someone within the company. I don't know who. I think they're going to take someone from the main roster and do it with, but I wish I had a good prediction for you, but I really don't. I just think it's gonna be positive, unless they do something silly and, you know, put someone dumb as the third member. But it's tough. I almost think it's the smartest thing to do, selfishly, but I also think it's the smartest thing to do to put a younger guy or NXT guy in there, because you don't want anyone brought into the group that might be shadowing or leaning towards being the biggest star of the group that they enter. You know what I mean? Like, you can't put a fucking, you know, a vest on fucking John Cena and put him in there, because number one, it would make the whole group look like fucking shit, but also it's John Cena. Like, it's not going to look like the Shield anymore. It's going to be like John Cena and his fucking security, you know. And I don't think they would do that, but I'm just saying, for instance, I think it's the smartest thing to put one of those, you know, younger guys in there. But, yeah, it'd be interesting. It definitely makes me interested in what's going to happen next. And, yeah, I mean, that's what I've continuously looked for. It's just, you know, to see them do something original and keep things moving. And they could keep the Shield the way it was, and they can continue to run six men and do what they were doing. But, you know, kind of running out of ways to do those. So, like I said, I'd be all for them keeping it together, but the way that they did it, I honestly think it's going in a good direction. And I'm looking forward to the matchups where it puts Seth Rollins up against Dean Ambrose. So, why not? I don't think I have much more, and I'm at halftime game time here, so I'm definitely trying to trying to keep up with that as we come out of the second half. You know, tunes it up that much more. Like I said, I got this big race on Saturday. All sorts of stuff. Fucking dental surgery on Tuesday. So Wednesday, I should be back with a full wrap-up of all of those things that have gone on, as well as a preview talking about some Tournament of Death, which will be the first time I've been back there in 2 years. At the Markland Acres, and I think it's going to be a tremendous tournament, phenomenal. I think I've talked one of my friends into showing up there too, so it'll be good to see. You know, I always love turning more people onto CCW, and you know, Tournament of Death is just one of those things. There's nothing like that. Like they say that there, it's like nothing else. Well, Tournament of Death is like nothing else. That there is, CZW as a whole is starting to be like everything else, but Tournament of Death is still like nothing else. And just the experience overall, it's the nuttiest shit you'll ever see in the ring. And just the experience, like they call it Death Stock. You know, and people are out there tailgating and drinking, and, you know, by the end of it, you'll see people falling over and fighting and things of that nature. And, you know, of course, they hope for no fights, but, you know, things happen. And me, this will be my first one that I've ever attended sober. Actually, I think about now, or maybe a few days from now, I'll be actually 11 months sober. So, you know, coming next month will actually be my one-year anniversary. So I'm looking forward to that and just continue to push forward, do shit positive. And yeah, man. So I think that's about all I got. I'm got a plug. All these shows are on tonight. Stern Nation, I believe, will be on over the weekend. But so definitely check them out. But Wrestling Soup is on tonight. They started at 7:30. I don't know that they might still even be on the air right now. They tend to run some long shows. They might be on right now still. If not, check them on the archive for sure. Sports Den, they start at the same time I am, and I know they run long, so you could check them out. They're doing their 100th show tonight. And they, you know, Nick, Dube, they were actually able to all get together over there in Chicago. They got Dube from Massachusetts over there. He headed out there to watch the pay-per-view with them. So you had Christian and Nick and Roy, had all those guys together, and actually they got up over with Mish over there too from Wrestling Soup, so it was all big gathering. Pretty cool stuff. But yeah, check them out. They're doing their 100th episode right now. And I think that's all I got. Like I said, man, got a big, big week between a race and fucking surgery and all this other shit coming up. So, nothing else. I'll check you motherfuckers out next week. Peace.
The cat in the house. Cat in the house. Let's get to the cat in the house.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Kill them all. Back on top. Think about it. Fuck Hulk Hogan.
These motherfuckers are geniuses.
Keep it up, my nigga.
What the fuck?
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
The cat in the house, cat in the house, let's get to the cat in the house.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Kill them all, back on top, think about it. Fuck Hulk Hogan.
These motherfuckers are genius.